People do clap their hands over their ears. Amen. So I know my calling. And I will spare you. Because I actually like you guys. All right, Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I just want to say you have a wonderful orchestra. It's a real blessing. I told your pastor, I've been getting spoiled the past few days. I just wish I could take all of you with me to New York. Amen. You know, don't take it for granted what you have. Amen. This is something precious. I mean, to have young people playing instruments, and I mean, they look happy. Amen. They put on a good smile. Amen. But I'm just joking. But it's a blessing, you know, to have Brother Stevens, Pastor Stevens' daughter play, and other people. And just, I just thank the Lord for that. It's a real encouragement, you know. One time we were at a church, real quickly, I had to say this. We were at a church one time, and there was more of us. Let's put it. I mean, there was probably about 15 people there, 20 people, and it wasn't as many of us as them. My wife was out that night with the two youngest ones, and it was just me and Uriah there, and we were sitting in the pew, and we were singing the loudest. I mean, all we heard was us. And Uriah said, "Dad, we don't have to sing a special. We're already doing it, you know?" And I was like, "Yeah." You know, but I was like, you know. Sometimes he gets that, I don't know, intense straightforwardness from his mom. Amen? And I'm like, "You got to calm down. Mom's a bad influence." Amen? But here, I'll just be honest with you. This is, I know that those of you who are really deep, you'll probably have all this you know, big long thing dissected for me and give it to me end of the week, you know, this whole explanation here. But I just like to spiritually preach this, if you allow me the liberty. Today, we live in a wicked world. And we live in a society today, we live in a world that will somehow, some way, mistreat you in some way. You know, this ain't Little House on the Prairie. You know, I didn't grow up on Little House on the Prairie. I grew up like more like Little House in the Hood. And I grew up in Philadelphia, you know what I mean? Like I said, I don't know my dad. He left my mom when she was 6 months pregnant. And the only time I ever talked to my dad was when I was 18 years old, getting ready to go overseas for a tour. And I was 18 years old, and I called him up and said, "I'd like to meet him." And his thing was, "If you ever call me again, I'll have you locked up for harassment." So that was my... So I made a phone call to Vinny. Amen. I'm just joking, but I was like, I got a stone in my shoe. But the world's cruel. You know, the world will mistreat you. It will hurt you. And unfortunately, some of the most meanest people you'll ever meet are those who are going to be in the church. Some of the greatest people in the church. Some of the most meanest people. And I believe it's a very important passage of Scripture we're going to read tonight as we get into this thing. And look at verse 21. "Then came Peter to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times.'" Now notice the person that comes to Jesus. Peter. He's always the first to speak up, you know? He's the kind of guy that opens mouth, inserts foot, you know? And Peter goes to the Lord, though. That's what was great. And he doesn't go to a counselor or some psychiatrist for help and all that. And I know that a counselor may be of help sometimes and all that. But the best one to go to in the final end is Jesus Christ. And then notice the problem he brings up. "How often shall my brother sin against me?" There's a problem. And he says, "And I forgive him." And that is a problem sometimes, isn't it? To forgive someone. But notice the proposition that Peter offers. He tries to impress the Lord with numerology. Now, I'm saying that with sarcasm. He says till seven times, number of completion, right? And forgiving someone seven times for the same offense sounds like a really good thing to be honest with you. But Jesus has something else in mind. And here in this passage of Scripture, the Lord is trying to teach us a very important lesson. He really wants us to learn something from this parable here about forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is a wonderful thing. It really is. It's wonderful to forgive, and it's also wonderful to be forgiven. Yet the opposite is very true of bitterness. It can affect your sleep. It can affect your mood. It can affect your walk with the Lord when you're bitter. And bitterness is a way of affecting you physically over a period of time. It can literally cause blood pressure to go up. It can affect your blood sugar count and so forth. And bitterness also has a way of affecting you mentally. It has a way of really messing you up over a period of time. And bitterness is a way of driving a person crazy. It really does, if you let it. Now, I want to preach to you on the title of this message tonight. on this very topic of bitterness and forgiveness. And I want to title this message, "It's Driving Me Crazy." Amen? It's driving me crazy. Now, we're going to read through here. And notice in verse 21, then we'll pray. Then came Peter to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times." Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. The same servant that was forgiven, he's talking about, went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, which was measly compared to the 10,000 talents, and he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. That's where you get debtor's prison. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Let's pray. God, I'm glad to be here tonight, Lord. I'm glad to be here this week. I'm glad for the food, the fellowship, God. It's the good spirit, the good music, the good specials that the ladies sung tonight. What a blessing, God. Lord, I do pray you'd help me. God, I don't know why you had me preach this message tonight. Another thing, God, I was bouncing back and forth, and Lord, you pressed it upon my heart last night and then this morning. And Lord, you have a reason for it, and I'm just yielding to you. And God, I pray that whoever it's for, they'll take heed to it. I believe, Lord, this message is for everybody, to be honest. Lord, whether it's for now or in the future. Lord, bitterness is a very easy thing to fall as a prey into. So I pray right now that you guide and direct and lead me, Lord, and fill me with the Spirit of God. Help me to say everything that's pleasing to you and a help to your people. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you would notice, to look at verse 32, notice what he says. Then his Lord, after they had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant. Number one, I've learned this, to not forgive is wicked. To not forgive is wicked. He says, O thou wicked servant. I'm not telling you tonight that you're wicked, because I'm not God. But God's telling you that you're wicked. And God says it's very wicked for you to not forgive. It's a sin to not forgive someone who has done you wrong. And it doesn't matter how much you try to justify your bitterness or hold on to your grudge, it is still wicked to do in the sight of God. It's totally wrong. And it's totally unfit. It's unbecoming of a Christian. It's totally out of character for a Christian to not forgive. And as a Christian, and when you choose not to forgive, it is totally unkind to not forgive. Now, this servant showed no mercy. So how do you know? Look at verse 28. The same servant went out, now notice this, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. Now, I'll be honest with you, taking someone by the throat, that's not a nice thing to do. And this debtor begged for forgiveness, and the servant would not forgive, but instead took the person by the throat. I'll be honest with you, I think the guy was pretty ticked off. I think the guy was pretty miffed. Would you agree with me? I mean, I think it's very unkind to do so. Now, when you're really bitter at someone, you will really feel at times like hurting them. Now, I know none of you feel like that. I know the message is for someone else that should have been here tonight, so make sure they get a copy, okay? I never felt like hurting anyone. Well, I guess Prozac has kicked in for you. But to take vengeance on someone and to pour out your wrath on someone is wicked in the eyes of God. He says, you're wicked. Number two, notice in verse 34, notice what it says right here. It's jumped out at me. Notice the first part of verse 34 and the first part of verse 35. And his Lord was wroth. Look at verse 35, the beginning of it. So likewise shall my heavenly Father. And I got thinking about that too. Not forgive makes the Lord wroth. Makes him very wroth. See, none of us deserve God's forgiveness. Do you know why God forgives you? It's not even for your sake. It's for Christ's sake. He forgives you for someone else's sake. Because we don't deserve forgiveness. And since none of us deserves forgiveness, yet when we ask, He gives it. What makes you think you're right with God when you choose not to forgive someone? When you choose to hold it back? To not forgive someone after God has forgiven you makes God very angry. I don't know about you. I don't want to get on God's bad side. We were going through Genesis, my kids and I, in devotion, and we read about Sodom and Gomorrah. Have you ever read that before? I think God was pretty mad. We went through that whole ark thing, you know, that happened. I don't want to be on God's bad side. Are you with me? J.C. Riley said, "Let us remember this passage. Nothing so grieves the Holy Spirit and brings spiritual darkness over the soul as giving way to a quarrelsome and unforgiving temper." Mark my words. When you find a guy that's like that, or a woman like that, well, that could be menopause. But anyway, when you find... Even so, come Lord Jesus. Anyway, but hey, when you find a guy who's like that all the time, he's got a bitterness issue. And I'll get into that later on. It's the absolute truth. So just remember, the next time you choose not to forgive someone, you're making God angry. I wouldn't want to do that if I were you. Number three, look at the next thing real quickly. Verse 34, notice what he says, "And the Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors." To not forgive will work you up. To not forgive will work you up. You know, people stay up at night when they're bitter. Ever someone do you wrong? Ever lay in your bed at night and hear the clock go tick, 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 tick? What did you think? You think those sweet thoughts came to mind? God bless them. Right? God bless her. You know, while you're bitter at someone at night, you'll just be laying in bed thinking thoughts that are not good. And you may even wring your hands out of frustration. You may even grab the sides of your head. And while you're bitter and while you're miserable, guess what? Your enemy is enjoying life. Your bitterness will sometimes wear you out. Old Dale Carnegie said this, "Wouldn't our enemies rub their hands with glee if they knew that our hate for them was exhausting us? Making us tired and nervous, ruining our looks, giving us heart trouble, and probably shortening our lives." Bitterness is a way of tormenting the mind. And you may, "Oh, preacher, I forgive the person as long as I don't see them, as long as I don't hear their name, as long as they never cross the street when I'm driving. I've forgiven them for what they've done." One preacher said one time, "The very fact that you occasionally speak lightly of those who have injured you or did not fully agree with you proves in your heart that you have not fully forgiven them." One guy said this, that forgotten is forgiven. And when you choose not to forgive someone, then you have not forgotten what they have done. And if you have not forgiven them, then you're going to let that bitterness inside of you work you up. And your bitterness will work on you so much that you'll have evil thoughts towards the person who's done you wrong. Feelings of maliciousness will rise up in you. Spitefulness, meanness, and hardness of heart will arise in you as well. And I have learned that bitterness will keep those ill feelings being fueled inside of you towards the person or persons you're bitter at. You know what I've learned about bitterness? It'll also affect you. And not only it'll affect you, it'll affect all those around you. So how do you know that? Look at verse 31. Bitterness will affect all those around you when they watch how bitter you become. Look at verse 31. Notice what it says. "So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry." People around you will notice your bitterness more than you think. And bitterness is never a blessing to those around you. It's a burden. Ever been around somebody who's real bitter? Ever around someone who's real nasty, real mean, spirited? I mean, you're all happy and they're all, you know what I mean? You know, that kind of attitude. Your bitterness will work you up, and it will work up others as well around you. Number four, look at verse 35. Notice what he says. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. You know what I learned to not forgive? Well, you know what it'll do? It'll make a wedge between you and God. It'll make a wedge between you and God. If you're not forgiving someone, I got news for you. You're not right with God. You're not. And if you're not forgiving others, then God's not hearing your prayers. So how do you know that? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. How many of you want to be ignored by God? Anybody want to be ignored by God tonight? There's the solution right there. So I want to be ignored. There you go. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Did you know when you're bitter at someone, God is not going to hear your prayers? I mean, how can you ask God to forgive you when you won't forgive others? Isn't that a bit hypocritical? God, I'm praying for mercy, but get him. God, I'm praying that you forgive me, but they don't deserve your forgiveness. They deserve the wrath. I mean, is that kind of hypocritical? I mean, really, I mean, God's not going to overlook your unforgiveness. God's going to keep dealing with you about your bitterness until you choose to forgive. And I got news for you. When you choose not to forgive, your prayer life, your Bible reading, your walk with the Lord is going to be greatly hindered and not blessed until that wedge is taken out. Say, have you ever been bitter? Or do you think? How do you think? Yeah. I would lie. I mean, if I said I was never bitter, I love everybody. You know what I mean? I don't know. Maybe it's an Italian attitude. You know, take them out. I don't know. God, you know, he's saved. Bring them home to glory, God. You know, I don't know. I don't know. You know what I mean? But now that you know the negative effects tonight of not forgiving someone, what are you going to do to change it? It's all there. It's all negative, totally negative. I mean, what does the Lord teach us in this passage of Scripture, okay, on how we can forgive others? Well, I'm glad you asked. So let's look at verses 21 and 22. Notice what he says tonight. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how awesome. My brother sinned against me and I forgive him. So seven times. Notice number one, we're commanded to forgive. We are commanded to forgive. Jesus said to them, I say not to thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now get a hold of that. You know what God's trying to teach Peter tonight, or Peter, and teach us tonight as well? Unlimited forgiveness. He's trying to teach you unlimited forgiveness. And to forgive someone who has done you wrong is difficult. To forgive someone who has done you wrong numerous times is extremely difficult. To forgive someone who has done you wrong 490 times for the same offense seems impossible to do. Would you agree? I mean, if you stepped on my shoe, you know, going through the pew, no problem. Twice, three times, 490, you didn't even go that far. You're already in my trunk and I'm taking you for a ride. That's it. Yet, forgiveness is not an option. It's a command. You know, I think many times we get so deep, you know, what about the gap theory? And what about, you know, the angels that came down? And what about, and we always want deep, deep, deep. What about the great deep, the frozen deep? That's deep. Amen. You know, I think sometimes we just need to get back to the basics. You know what I mean? I'll tell you what'll kill a church. I'll tell you what'll cause a church to die. I'll tell you what'll cause the Spirit of God to be grieved, quenched, and resisted. I'll tell you what it is. It's unforgiveness. Did I ever tell the illustration here of F.B. Meyer? Did I ever tell that illustration? F.B. Meyer was preaching a revival meeting one time. It's a true story. And F.B. Meyer was so frustrated. And he was like, God, it's going nowhere. It's just, man, God. And he was really discouraged. Now, here's these great men getting discouraged. I think, well, I mean, he's a great, successful preacher, you know, but he got discouraged. And he said, Lord, I'm done. This is last night. I don't care about the rest of the week. I ain't doing no more. So he got up and he preached. And make a long story short, he hit on this very subject of bitterness. That night they had a breakthrough. That night a deacon got up and said, I've been bitter at the preacher. Confessed it, right, publicly. Another person said, I've hated you. And this person said, I hated you. And all this stuff going around. And he said that revival broke out that night. And for the next 3 years, people were getting saved and added to the church and revival came. Yeah. You wonder why sometimes revival doesn't happen. Oh, it's in the last days. Revival was in the last days with Billy Sunday, folks. Am I right or wrong? Haven't we been in the last days for a while now? At least 100 years, correct? And God's commanded that you should forgive others, and He's made no exceptions to the matter. Bible says, let all bitterness, now watch this, ready? And wrath. Get a hold of that. Why does a person lose their temper? Like that? Let all bitterness and wrath. Now listen to this. And anger. I got anger management. I need to take a class. No, you don't. You just need to get right with God. Grow up and quit sucking your thumb. I remember my wife and I, we were newly married. And don't you just love it when your wife rebukes you, you know? And I know none of you ever had that. I'm just speaking about myself, you know. But anyway, I'm driving down the road, right, and we're newly married. And I lost my temper, man. Something happened. It wasn't towards her. I was just mad. And my wife just looks over at me and goes, Brian, Bible says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And I had that steering wheel, and I'm like, it was like a race car, you know, small one when I was all done, like a Mario Kart, you know. I know, I'm told on myself. Now you think I'm not spiritual. I never was, amen. But notice what he says, and clamor. You know what clamor means? To noisily repeat something. That's not in the Greek, by the way, just Webster's 1828. Greek, whatever, I can't. I have a hard time with English, you know. But, I do like Greek food. But anyway, but clamor. Noisily repeat something. Ever get around somebody who's bitter? What do they do? On and on and on and on. The same thing like a broken record. And evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye, this is a bad four-letter word. I know. It's a bad four-letter word. Baptist church. Kind. I got it out. One to another, tender-hearted. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. What should you do? Forgive as Christ, as God has forgiven you for Christ's sake. Be kind. It's a command. Am I right or wrong? Oh, it'll be kind of weird tonight. I know, I'm crazy. They said that as I escaped. But Colossians 3, 13, forbearing one another and forgiving. You know what that means, forbearing? Putting up with. Did you know there will be people, I don't care if the church has five people or 500. There will always be that one. That's annoying. And you know what's scary about it? You don't realize it's you. Because you're going, yeah. And everybody's looking at you like, yeah, it's you. Forbearing. I mean, putting up with one another. And forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So when you choose not to forgive, you're going against what God has commanded. I didn't write it. Number two. Second thing I want to say tonight is notice that, look at verse 27, notice, then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion. Notice that? Number two, when you forgive, not only is it commanded, but you're showing compassion. You're showing compassion. The Lord in this parable showed compassion towards an unworthy servant. And He forgave him of a huge debt. Now get a hold of this. Gold is going up. Right? A lot of money, ain't it? Silver going up, right? That's a lot of money, right? He says 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money, isn't it? Now, if you're saved, I got some big news for you. The Lord has also shown compassion towards you when He forgave you of all your debt. When He has chosen to save you for Christ's sake from hell for all eternity. Man, that's a good deal, isn't it? And we ought to show compassion towards others as the Lord has shown us. And you need to show compassion on others by forgiving others. If the Lord has shown you compassion in forgiving you of thousands of talents or thousands of sins. And many of you can agree to that, right? You committed thousands, right? Amen? So I haven't. There's your thousandth sin of pride, okay? Then why can't you just forgive someone for 100 pence? See, how much was that? I don't know. But I'll tell you this, it's a lot less than talents. And to be honest, no one has sinned against you as much as you have sinned against the Lord. Yet the Lord shows compassion towards you every day, even when you sin against Him. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Aren't you glad that God's mercies are not consumed? Aren't you glad that His compassions are new every morning? Aren't you glad the Lord doesn't go, that's it? I mean, man, I would have been dead the day after I got saved. Number three, notice real quickly, look at verse 27. Notice what it says, and the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. That loosing and forgiving. That goes along with another passage of Scripture there in Matthew 16. But anyway, you notice there is a clearing and forgiving. Number three is a clearing and forgiving. And loosed him and forgave him the debt. Now, when you choose to forgive someone, a wonderful thing takes place. You yourself are actually loosening yourself, spiritually speaking, of torment. One guy said this, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and realize the prisoner was you. When you forgive, you'll no longer have ill feelings towards the person or persons you're bitter with. And forgiving someone will free you from the bondage of resentment and anger and revenge. Samuel Johnson said this, a wise man will make haste to forgive because he knows the true value of time and will not suffer to pass away at unnecessary pain. And there's something else that takes place when you choose to forgive someone. When you forgive someone, you're not only choosing to set yourself free, but the person that you're upset with also free. Say, what do you mean? When you're bitter at your wife, or you're bitter at your husband, how does husbands love your wives and be not what? Bitter. That says the wife. Men have a problem with bitterness. But as a husband love your wife, when you choose to not forgive your wife, then you'll keep holding something over her head. And you know what? She will never be able to make it up to you, and she will never feel that she can please you, or vice versa with the wife, or the husband, or the kids, or the parents, or whoever it may be. But when you choose to forgive someone, then they realize, you know what? Hey, I'm free from the displeasure of you. And now I know I can move on because you have moved on. Now we can move on together and live for God. Are you with me? There's a wonderful thing in clearing others by forgiving them. When you forgive others, you'll have a peace the world can never give. G. Weatherly said, forgiving those who hurt us is the key to personal peace. And when you choose to forgive others, you'll be finally set free from torment because He gives them to the tormentors. There's something else I learned about bitterness over the years. I met some Christians who were not bitter at others, but bitter at themselves. And there are some Christians I have met who have not yet learned to forgive themselves. And if you choose to forgive yourself, you'll be set free from the bondage of bitterness. Listen up, I got some good news for you tonight if you're a Christian. The Lord has chosen to forgive you of all your debt of sin. And you have no business going around beating yourself up for some stupid decision. When I got married out of the will of God, I bought this house out of the will of God, I made this stupid decision when I did this and all that years ago. I left the church years ago. I bought the wrong car. I did this and I regret it. Well, let me ask you tonight, will you choose to let go of those things that's driving you crazy? Amen? Are you going to choose to let it go or just drive yourself crazy? If you're a Christian, I got news for you. It's time to get up. Bible in Proverbs 24, for a just man falleth seven times and does what? Sucks his thumb? Lays on the ground? Has a hissy fit? Riseth up again. I got news for you. None of us are perfect. None of us have arrived. None of us attained. Now let me ask you, have you confessed that sin that's brought you down? You made it go, I had sex before I got married. I did this and all. You got all these, I messed with pornography. I did all this stuff you regret having done. Did you confess it? Have you confessed the sin that was keeping you from breaking free from the bondage of bitterness in your heart? If you have, then you know what you need to do tonight? Stop feeling sorry for yourself. It's time to move on in life. I like what Paul says. It's a very good verse. I know that. Let me preach it. Amen. Forgetting those things which are behind. Let it go. I mean, listen, now's the time for the Lord to clear you of your past sin. You say what? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All. Not some. You don't know what I did. All unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Why? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Isn't it wonderful to be cleared by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. I'm so glad I'm saved. I really am. I haven't gotten over it. You know, I've lost my joy about some things, but I've never lost my joy about my salvation. I'm so glad I'm going to heaven. I'm so glad that my sins are as far as the east is from the west. I'm glad that my title will be read clear one day because I've been born again. Isn't it truly wonderful, folks, to be cleared by God? I mean, God wants us to be happy and also wants to clear us, but it doesn't stop there. Now, to you who are lost, if you're lost, you've never experienced this forgiveness from God. You don't know why we get excited. You don't know why we shout. You don't know why we cry. You think we're nuts. I got news for you. We are. We're fanatics for Jesus, amen. I was a fool for the devil long enough. Now I'm a fool for Christ. And since you have never been born again, you know what you're doing right now? You're carrying around the guilt of sin. There's some things you've done that you hope nobody would ever find out. But I got news for you. God knows about it. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Beholding the evil and the good. God sees what you do on Facebook. God sees what you do on the internet. God sees what you watch on TV. God sees what you listen to. I mean, He knows everything about you. All the time, since the day you were born to the day you die. And it's all written down. And it ain't going to be wiped out by any Y2K. Because God is the backup memory. Amen? Yet there's still some good news. You could be relieved of your sin by coming to Jesus Christ. But there's also some bad news. If you don't come to Christ, you'll die in your sin and go to hell. You know what? You know what's really weird? I'm not trying to be rude. You're door knocking. And man, I got a free phone, man. Thanks to Obama. You know? And I'm like, all right. You know? I got this. I got that. I mean, everyone's free stuff, right? But eternal life. Can we get a free steak here, man? Can we get... Kids eat free on Wednesday at this point, right? You say, hey, would you like free eternal life? No, I'm content with my church. You just want to say, loser, right? Can't do that because you got to be like Christian. Nice. I'll pray for you, dummy, you know? In hell, your torment will be worse than any bad experience you've ever got bitter about in life. I was raised in a bar at the age of 5. I really was, until I was 13 years old. Every weekend, you know. Abused. Beaten. I had a lot of male influences, no dad. I had a lot of bitterness in me. I'll be honest with you, I had a lot of bitterness in me for years after I got saved. Years, about 11 years. Until God set me free. So you preach like that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought I was okay with it. And God dealt my heart one day. I was struggling. Those 3 days were like, man, I was crying. I was mad. I was angry. God was dealing with me. And God said, there's your problem. You know, isn't it kind of funny how God works? Just when you get victory over certain things, you're like, I'm doing pretty good. Yeah, I'm all right. And God goes, what about that? And it's really painful. Like, you know, it's funny when you newly get saved. I don't know about you. When I got saved, the drinking and the drugs and the cigarettes and all that stuff stopped. I mean, like, gone. All that stuff came off easy. Really, I'm not being boastful. It was God that gave me the deliverance. Bear with me. But then God started dealing with the heart. You know what I mean? That gross, vile thing inside of you. The one they give Valentine's cards to with your heart. It's just painted black. Forget red. You know what I mean? Give it to you and say, that's what I think of. You know what I mean? I'm just joking, right? And he starts dealing with you here. God starts dealing with me here. And God goes, you're not right. It was hard. It was harder to get rid of that than it was the music. And I used to listen to techno a lot. And God said, that was harder than getting rid of that. This bitterness has a thing that's called a root. A root. Those of you who ever did any landscaping I have, you pull up a stump. Ever see how much of a hole there is when you pull the root? You know what some of you done? You got all the trees, you trim it down, you cut it down to the stump, and you think, I'm not bitter. Stump's still in the heart. Bitterness. And you know, when you pull it out, there's a big hole. You know what? You're afraid of facing your bitterness tonight because you know when you do, it took such a big part of your heart that if you pull it out, if God pulls it out, you can't do it. God does. You're going to be like, what do I fill it again with? Because I've had my wall up. I've been defensive. I don't let anybody get close to me. I'm okay from a distance and all that, but I'll never love anybody again. I'll never get as close to anybody again. I'll never trust anybody again. You can't live like that. But you're trying to. How about it tonight? Where are you at? Are you saved? Do you have peace of mind? Or are you not saved? If you're not saved, you don't have peace of mind. I'm going to ask you now, what's your decision tonight? I'll close with this and I'm done. Is your unforgiving heart driving you crazy? Is your unforgiving heart driving you crazy? Now, folks, I don't know why God had me preach this tonight. I really don't. But it's for somebody here tonight. And I'm sure of that, you know, because God said, preach it. So would you bow your head? Would you close your eyes? Would you, no one looking around? You know, as we went through this tonight, to not forgive, I didn't write it. God says it's wicked. It's very wicked. And it makes the Lord wroth. Wroth. It makes him very angry. Now, maybe you're not bitter at someone, per se, on the earth, but maybe you're bitter at God. Did you ever get bitter at God? Well, I'm not bitter at God. You know, he just did this and he did that in my life. Well, you know, the Bible says about Jesus Christ, he had done all things well. You know, when you choose not to forgive someone, you're going to get worked up. And it's going to drive a wedge between you, your wife, or you and your husband. Or it's going to drive a wedge between you and your parents. Maybe you hate your in-laws. Maybe you hate your ex. Maybe you hate, you say, I don't hate anybody. Well, you cannot stand them. Obviously, you don't have the love of Jesus towards them. Now, if God spoke to you, come on now. I'm going to ask you to stand. No one looking around. Would you stand tonight? I think some of you should come. Listen, folks, this is a revival meeting. It's not to be entertained by Brother Del Grande from Philadelphia. It's to get right with God and get help. Folks, I'm not here to hurt you. I'm here to help you. But you know what? If you don't want to yield to the Spirit of God, I cannot make you do that. But you listen, you want to see revival happen, I'll tell you what to do. If you're a young man here tonight, maybe you're a teenager, you're upset with someone else who's a teenager, why don't you go up to him tonight and say, I'm sorry. Say, oh, well, you know what? It's a lot better to do that than to get it right in the judgment seat of Christ. Maybe tonight you're bitter at the preacher. Maybe you're bitter at his wife. Maybe you're bitter at his kids. Maybe you're bitter at your wife or your husband. Maybe you're bitter at your parents. Maybe you're bitter at someone. Maybe you're bitter at yourself. I'll be honest, folks. There's times I disgust myself. But I got to remember, I'm accepted by the Beloved. Thank God. You know, you're commanded to forgive. Because if you don't, it's going to drive a wedge between you and God. You show compassion towards those who have done you wrong. Folks, you don't need to rush tonight. I mean, I didn't preach to you very long. You can stay at this altar as long as you need to. You can come when you want. I believe that this is the beginning for some of you to get victory. Some of you may get victory right away at the altar. Some of you, it's going to be a beginning effect. When you forgive, it has a clearing effect on you spiritually, emotionally, and physically. How many of you would like to be set free from this bondage of bitterness tonight? You can be set free tonight. See, I was sexually abused. I was physically abused. I was emotionally abused. I had a mean dad or a mean mom that would say horrible things to me and threaten to give me up and do all this other stuff. Folks, I've been through a lot. I've been through a lot. If you're saved tonight, let me ask you, will you choose to forgive? Let me ask you tonight, no one looking around, let me ask you. How many tonight would say, preacher, pray for me? Anybody tonight say, preacher, pray for me? Anybody else? See your hand? I see your hand. Anybody else? See your hand? See your hand? Anybody else? Say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not going to point you out and embarrass you. Anybody else? Say, pray for me. Pray for me. See your hand. Some of you came. Some of you are standing there. That's fine. No pressure. Tonight, some of you need to let go of some things. Let me ask you real quick tonight. If you're lost, no one looking around. Let me ask you tonight. If you're lost, will you choose the forgiveness God has to offer in His Son, Jesus Christ? Anybody here tonight lost? Anybody here tonight not sure they're saved? Anybody here tonight not sure they've been washed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ and are a child of God? Anybody at all? I'm not going to point you out, but let me ask you tonight, would you be honest? Raise your hand. Say, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not going to grab you. I just want to know so I can pray for you. Anybody like that? You're not 100% sure you're saved. Would you just raise your hand? Anybody at all? All right, let me say this to you tonight. Maybe some of you are bitter at a child that's no longer living for God. I mean, you see that child in a family reunion or Christmas Day, it just grieves you the way they're living. How about that? Maybe some of you are bitter at the last preacher or the last church you were in. Maybe some of you got so much regret, you can't let it go. Folks, let it go. There's no benefit, no blessing of holding on to bitterness, but man, there's a lot of blessings in letting it go. You just need to let it go. Let it go. I'm going to be at the altar tonight. If you've never been saved, I'm going to ask you tonight, why don't you come down and kneel down next to me? If you're a man tonight, or a teenager tonight, young man tonight, I'll be at the altar kneeling down and praying. If you feel God's dealt with you, why don't you come? Maybe tonight you are saved and you just need prayer. I'll pray with you. I'll pray with you. I know what it's like, folks. I used to ask, and I'll be done. I used to ask years ago, who preaches to the preacher? I don't ask that no more. God does. And you know what? If a message is going to be worth anything, the guy has had to go through it himself. And folks, I'll tell you right now, that bitterness thing is what I struggle with for years. And man, it hurts. It's painful. Some of you have not shed a tear in years, and you won't because you're bitter. And you know what? Look at your bitterness. What has it done? Has it made you have the love of Jesus shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost? I mean, has it really got things out of the Bible more? Has it jumped out at you? Has it really helped your prayer life? Has it helped you become a soul winner? Has it helped you become a better father or a better husband or a better wife or a better mother or a better child or a better parent? I mean, how has it helped you tonight to hold on to your bitterness? Some of you tonight, you may need to get things right with each other. You may need to. Just go up to someone tonight and say, look, I'm sorry. Hug your wife and say, I'm sorry, I've been a jerk. Tell your husband, I'm sorry, I haven't been like Sarah, who obeyed her husband, you know, calling him Lord and having a quiet and meek spirit. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I'm praying for these people right now that raise their hand. Give them the victory. Give them the strength. Give them the grace. Lord, there was many people that raised their hand and came down to the altar. And I pray that tonight they would get the victory. You set them free from the bondage of this bitterness, God. I know what it's like. It hurts. It's painful. I pray, God, you squeeze the hard heart of those who will not let go, who keeps grieving or resisting the Spirit of God. Lord, they're hurting themselves, but they're hurting also others around them. Do you pray, God, you save anyone who may be tonight here lost? I do pray, God, this message would really help your people and that it would bring forth fruit. And Lord, I pray this message would not be forgotten. Lord, for whatever reason you want me to preach it, and God, I give it to you. I don't know the people's hearts. I haven't been here enough, God, to know how the people are. But God, you know, you brought me here for a reason, and I'm glad I'm here. And I'm glad that Pastor Stevens had me in and my family. And God, I've been praying that I could be a blessing. I want to be a help. And I pray, God, that it did help your people tonight. You get all the glory and honor for what's said and done tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Number 333. Let's stand if you're not standing yet. Number 333. Altar's still open if you need to come. There's still business to be done. Why don't you come? 333. just another minute here. I know that a lot of you came to the altar already. I just like to make sure we sweep up here. Everything taken care of?
Really?
You know, we're a pretty close family here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. A lot of us have been together for a long time. Families that are together a long time go through things together, and there are thorns and warts and character flaws that are discovered. And I wonder, and I promise you I'm not thinking of anything in particular, but I wonder if there's a brother or a sister that needs to square something up with another brother or sister. Maybe a husband and wife. And by the way, if you're 5 years old or 6 or 7, you're not too young to get right about these things. Just wondering. Any cleanup needs to be done? Families sometimes go through bitter things and see unwieldy and unattractive, just say that, unattractive things in your brothers and sisters in Christ. Is all that squared away? Let's look this way and sing the fifth stanza, fifth and sixth. Father, we close the meeting tonight, and we're grateful for what we've had a chance to hear this week already. Certainly tonight, Father, and the preacher's job is to come in here and by the leadership of the Spirit, dig around in wounds and make sure the pus and infection is all gone. I pray, Father, that that end might indeed be realized. Like I said, we have battled and fought and lived and celebrated and had anniversaries and birthdays together, Lord, as a family here, many of us for years and years. I pray, Father, that you'll help us to deal with these things honestly and forthrightly before thee. We have to be right with our brother as well as right with thee. And so I pray, Father, that you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We will plan to be back here at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Appreciate y'all's faithfulness being here this week so far. I'd like to close out the meeting well. So we'll see you tomorrow.